money columnist Rubina Ahmed-Hock is here to clear up some of the confusion, maybe save you a little cash in the process. Hello there.
Hi, Jill.
That's always welcome. Why do so many people avoid this conversation about life insurance?
Well, some of it's obvious, right? It's a dreadful conversation to have. We know insurance is important, even life insurance, and we want our families to be protected, especially in the time of an emergency. But let's face it, it's not exactly the best and most fun conversation to deal with. I mean, the eventualities are really, we're talking about death, disability, things that we don't really want to have to think about. Having that detailed conversation about life insurance is really important, regardless of how unpleasant it is, because in the long run, if you don't have that conversation of whether you need it or not, it can cost you a lot of money. So when it comes down to things that you're supposed to be doing, you know, the big things in your life, we all talk about, well, we got to get our will sorted out, we got to get these things that just are so dreadful to deal with, you know, along with cleaning out your garage every spring, put home and life insurance on that list as well, life insurance in particular. At least have the conversation. You don't have to necessarily take it, you just have to have the conversation of whether you need it.
All right, so let's have the conversation, you and I, shall we? Let's start with the basics. A quick life insurance 101. Walk us through it.
Well, there's term insurance, which is, there's two types. One is term insurance, and that really covers the risk of a policyholder dying in a predefined period. So you can take 10, 25, 50-year term. You know, just for example, if you're a man in their 40s, pretty healthy, you take out a policy for $250,000, that might cost you about $40 a month for that 20-year term. But you've got to think, okay, I'm in my 40s right now. When I renew this policy, I'm going to be in my 60s. So that premium could be about 10 times that amount, because as you know, as we age, the chance of us getting sick is more, the likelihood of us being critically ill is higher, so the premiums reflect that. You know, insurance companies use this stat that among U.S. adults, 45 to 64, 16% of them have diabetes, but then if you look at 65 and higher, 27% of them have diabetes. So they, you know, really do put this into the premiums, this reflects in the premiums, because they know that more likely we are going to have different illnesses as we age. You know, people could decide just to have term insurance while their kids are young, so it protects their dependents, which is something I really recommend, is that you don't necessarily need to have life insurance for your life, you just need to have it to protect your life at a certain amount of time. Remember, if you want to cancel term insurance, whether it's a 25 or 30-year term, you have to write to the company. Beneficiaries sometimes also have to write to the company to let them know you are canceling it, otherwise they will automatically renew it, and it could be at that 10 times higher limit. You know, once your kids are older, you might want to cut back. You might not need that life insurance. The last thing you want is to have it renewed automatically. You're paying a lot of money for an insurance policy that you don't even necessarily need, and you might have been better off just putting that money into savings.
Okay, so that's the first kind, term insurance. What's the second kind?
Well, the other one is permanent. So that, you know, it is what it sounds like. It provides lifetime coverage, and premiums are much higher because you will be having it for life, and the premiums are not going to change. You want to make sure in your policy that it has the word guaranteed in it, because that means the premiums will stay the same forever. One insurance broker I spoke to said you've got to make sure you also have some component of disability insurance in that life insurance policy, because you are three times more likely to become disabled for a long period of time than you are to just one day die. So that's one thing to think about when you are taking that policy out. Most people don't realize how expensive it can be and how financially devastating it can be to spend 2-3 months in a hospital, say outside of Canada, or even in Canada if those costs aren't covered. So, you know, really, it's unpleasant, but we got to talk about it. It's an important conversation to have. Death, disability, not the best dinner conversation, but the entire family should get involved when you're talking about this.
Do you have any tips for starting that conversation?
You know, Jill, the unfortunate thing is most of us know someone who has suffered some sort of tragic event where either they needed to use their life insurance or they could have benefited by using their life insurance. So start with that. You know, I could say my colleague's spouse, and they're around the same age as us, just suffered a stroke, and it got me thinking we should be prepared for situations like this. So it puts a little bit of a realistic spin on it, so you're talking about it for a reason, not just out of the blue. When you get into that conversation, talk about outstanding debts. How much life insurance would you need to pay them off if the other wasn't there? The higher earning spouse, of course, has to have the larger policy, because if they died or were unable to work for some reason, the other person would be left in a deeper financial hole. You know, if money is tight because you've got young kids, as it often is at that time in your life, term insurance might be the better option. So you're protecting yourself at that time in your life where you have dependents, young people who need your income to live and survive. But then once that term is over, they might be on their own, they might be self-sufficient, you might not need it anymore. So that's going to help you actually be able to afford it month to month. You know, you don't want to be taking insurance when you don't need to. So you might even have that conversation with your spouse. Say, when the house is paid off, when we have a certain level of saving, maybe we won't need life insurance anymore. So those are things to think about when you have that conversation. All right, now we promise that you might be saving people a little cash. So let's tell us, before we let you go here, about how to check once you do start shopping around to see whether you're being quoted a premium that's too high. Well, there's some great comparison websites out there. There's InsureEye.com. They also have another component of reviews. So you can go on there and you can look at, you know, what different insurance companies or clients are saying about them. There's Insurance Hotline. There's ComparaSafe.com. Just to name a few. There's quite a few out there that you can search for. The Government of Canada also has some great resources. The Insurance Bureau of Canada, the Financial Consumer Agency of Canada. These are good places to go to start your life insurance sort of research journey. In addition, there's some steps proactively that you can take to actually get your premiums lowered. That same insurance broker I spoke to said sometimes he meets clients, he sends them away for 6 months, and says fix these few things in your life so you can get your premiums lower. Quit smoking, get healthier, lose a little bit of weight, and there's other more less obvious things. Drive less, live in a smaller town. I mean, these are things that are going to lower your premiums. Also, if you are in a high-risk job, you and I don't do a high-risk job, but if we work with heavy machinery, our life insurance premiums would be higher. So if you can switch out of a job that's not as high risk, your premiums won't be as high. And make